All right, welcome to the Imperfectly Inspirational Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Bowman. We're so glad that you're tuning in this week. And, you know, we're launching a brand new series. It is going to be a series on the fruit of the Spirit. We just got done with our Know the Word series, which we went through different situations and found how useful it is to know the Word of God in those situations. And once you know the Word of God well and you have that closeness to God, then you're going to start having these fruits of the Spirit in your life, and we're going to discover what these are. And this week, I want to talk about the creme de la creme, the big dog of the fruits of the Spirit, and that is love. Without love, really none of these other fruits are going to be able to exist. So it is important that we understand what love is. But before we get to talking about what love is, I want us to talk about what love is not. And we're going to read 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read through the first 6 verses and get an understanding of what love is not. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world. When the world listens to them, we are from God. Whosoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we see there's this little test to understand what is from God. If it is godly and of God nature and then written in the Bible, then we see it is something that is approving and from God. And we know that the world does not speak of God. So how does this pertain to the love nowadays? Well, we know we got this understanding that love is acceptance. And using this little litmus test, I want to prove to you today, starting off, that love is not acceptance. So, you know, the argument could be that Jesus accepts you as you are. Yes, you are welcomed into the kingdom of heaven at the moment of your salvation, no matter where you are, no matter if you're in a drunken stupor or you're in the middle of a brothel. If you come to Jesus at that moment, you're welcome into heaven. But there is a thing that comes right after that. That is that Holy Spirit gets into your heart and it starts to encourage you to change your behavior. What is it when you are a Christian? What do you become? It says in the Bible, you become a new creation. See, God is love. God sets the standard for love. So in the sense of love, God, we know the verse, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, right? So God is the standard of love. And if you become a new creation, what does that mean? That God wants you to have something good in your life. God wants you to change away from sin, from self-destructive behavior, because what is sin? Sin is self-destructive behavior. It brings death. All the wages of sin are what? Death. So, literally speaking, by the word of truth and by the word of God, God does not accept you continuing as you are in sin. So, is love acceptance? No. Love does not want someone to live a self-destructive lifestyle. And that is anything. Now, does love beat somebody over the head with the Bible? Absolutely not. I think there's ways to handle things a certain way, but if you are currently looking at somebody and saying, little Timmy, it is okay that you do your drugs, God loves you, you just keep doing that, that is wrong. It is not okay to accept somebody in a slothful lifestyle, in a whatever it may be. If it is self-destructive, it is not of God. So God wants you to change. God wants you to become better. And love is wanting the best for somebody and for them to live a life, to become closer to God, the author of truth and morality in the world. So now that we understand what love is not, let's go into what love really is. We go down to verse 7, and sorry, this is going to be a little bit long, but it says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we may live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, the love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whosoever loves God must love his brother." And I think this, you know, it's not necessarily just your brother. It's the brother in Christ. And I even say anybody in this world, you must love. So I want to go with this by saying, I look at God with love as the fragrance of God. God is love, but love is his fragrance. And why do I say that? Because fragrance is the best thing tied to memory. We all know what the perfume section and department store smells like, and we can all imagine ourselves there and we can smell it. We have fond memories of walking through there, maybe choking a little bit, or maybe you enjoy it depending on your situation. But scent is the biggest thing tied to memory. And love is one of those things that you really tend to remember. And I want to give you an example. I want you to think back to Christmas throughout your childhood. What was your favorite gift that you got? What are some of the things that you really remember getting? And for some of us, we may have that right at the top of our head because we've loved it for years. But generally speaking, when it comes to some of your favorite gifts, you have to stop and think about it. You have to go back and you have to really kind of go through that catalog of your mind. But if I ask you this question now, go back into your lifetime, maybe your childhood. What was a moment that you remember somebody showed love to you? I bet you had that ready to go. My example is, I remember we were a poor family growing up, and our car broke down, and this lovely couple in our church, this was 25 years ago, they came and bought my mom a little $1,000 car. It wasn't no Cadillac or anything, but it got us from point A to point B, and that was somebody who had no business giving us a car. No business. They were not relatives. They owed us nothing. They had nothing, you know, that was obligating them to do that, but the love of God in their heart. And that is a fragrance that I still remember today. And many times seeing the people of God come out and do things that were just, if you, blows your mind what these people did for other people, that they had no reason to do it other than God. See, love is selfless. And if we take anything away from what love is today, it is that it is selfless. When we go out into this world, our goal should be that people can remember that moment that they had with us. And that when they smell that fragrance of God on us by experiencing that love, that they can think, you know what? It was nothing else but God that made that person do that for me. It was nothing else but God that gave that person that compassion to help me out or led. I don't know how many times I've known that God has put something on my heart or other people's hearts that somebody didn't know about. And you go and you deliver that package, that love note, that whatever it is to help somebody go along. Love is powerful when used in God's manner. Just like anything, when it is used outside of a godly manner, then we end up getting death. That love dies. That love does not move forward. That love is not remembered in a good way. It creates confusion and chaos. Only love that is done in a godly manner and for the uplifting of an individual from doing self-destruction is appropriate. Now, see, I know many times as Christians, we have trouble with the delivery of love. We have the great, the motives are great, but we have a wrong implementation. We may come across as harsh or whatever for wanting somebody to do better in their lives or for wanting to make better decisions. And, we cannot control people. That is not the point of love, is to control anybody. Love is selfless, as I said. But it is hard to come across sometimes in some situations as loving. People may not understand that you sincerely want the best and that's your continuation of saying, hey, why are you doing this? Has there been a benefit in your life? Is this helping you at all? You continue to end up in the same place. Some people are not going to just respond well to that. Understand that. But if you're coming out of a place of love and it's not working, pray. Pray, God, how do I love on this person the right way? And God will show you. Sometimes it's best to just turn it over to God. Let God deal with the situation. Maybe you can't fix it. And you could still love them, but maybe you don't need to be in their life. Maybe whatever the situation is, God will guide you to whatever you need to do. But you have to do everything through selfless love. Because the moment that you start thinking that you are owed something, it will come back to you. And yeah, I'll give you an example of some selfish, I'm going to say selfish love that's given in the world, with social media being very prevalent. I see so many people going up and giving homeless people, $100, and they go and they put this on YouTube and they end up making, a couple thousand off of the views that they get. And it's like, I'm so glad that you're giving and helping these homeless people. But at the end of the day, it's like, where was the heart? Where was the motivation? The motivation behind that is, I'm going to help this guy, but I need something too. I want us to take a look at this. As I quoted earlier, the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God gave the ultimate sacrifice of his son for us. Now I want you to think about every time that you, since the day that you became saved, how many times that you've sinned. How many times God has corrected you and gave you a path to take. Gave you the guidance of the Holy Spirit that said, you need to quit this, you need to move in this direction, you need to do whatever. And how many times you've failed God, and how many times God has forgiven you. And how many times when you have turned away and turned a blind eye to the things of this world that go against God and have maybe not stood up for God like you should, God has still continued to bless you. That is the perfect example of love coming from the creator and author of love. And if there's one thing that we can understand today, we will never be able to fully mirror that type of love because we are people living in a sin nature world. We're not in the holy realm, but we can do the best that we can and strive to get as close to that as we can. God has a selfless love. God's love is never ending. And, maybe tomorrow or today you'll think twice about that guy who jumped in front of you in line, giving him the finger and cussing him out. That's hard, not to do sometimes, to get angry at, different little things that may set you off. But how far could that compassion and love go and maybe helping somebody get through the day when they thought they had nothing else? Because at the moment in our own lives, when we felt that we didn't have anything at all, when we had nothing to look forward to, the grace and mercy and love from God came down and picked us up and gave us a direction to go. It gave us hope. It gave us new life. We were created new. We were swimming in our own sin and defeat. But God has given us new life from his perfect and abounding love. He didn't care what we did before. He didn't care where we were before. He just said, I want you to give up this lifestyle of self-destructive behavior, and I'm here to guide you through it. You know what? Tomorrow, when somebody asks for help, think about the phrase. Remember the phrase back in the early 2000s and late 90s, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Would Jesus give the shirt off his back if he saw you struggling? Would Jesus pay for your meal at the cash register when you see somebody struggling through their wallet? Would Jesus take the weekend and help somebody move that was unable to physically do it? We all get wrapped up in our day-to-days, and I'm just as guilty. We all get so self-consumed in our life because life is so busy, but it's hard to fathom. You know, I think of myself as a little kid remembering the love that was shed on my family by people that didn't have to do that, by people who gave up their own hard-earned money and time to go do something for my family that we didn't deserve because we were not worthy. None of us are worthy of anything, but God made us worthy. God said we are worthy of it all. So if God makes us worthy, then that person that you may look down at is worthy as well. That person that doesn't have as much as you, or that person that can't do as much as you, they are worthy as well. So I hope today that we can understand that love is not about us. Love is first and foremost about Jesus. But love is about making sure that others can get that fragrance and have that smell to remember by, that longing for Jesus that they've been waiting for. Maybe you're the only interaction that they're going to have with somebody that believes in Jesus, and that lasting effect of that kindness could help save their soul, could help guide them to the cross. And that's our goal. That's our marching orders from Christ, is that we can be the example and lead people to Him so He could save them. So folks, I hope that this has been a help to you, and we can realize what love truly is. It's selfless, 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 and it's all about God. But if you don't do anything else with this, I just hope that you can at least find one person to love on this week and show them that fragrance of God. But folks, I love you all, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of the week.